That for a fact, because earlier today, Nathan and Jacob went into deep intercession about not having to play in the basketball tournament down there, because he knew I was playing, and they met up at 4 o'clock. Nathan at work and Jacob here, and did a rain dance, and I guess it worked. So prayer works. Amen. Amen. So I do want to talk to you just for a few minutes. It's our pleasure to be here. Our honor to be here. From the first moment we came years ago, I think it was 4 years ago, just felt like family. Just so you know, I have a guitar spot right here. Jacob told me on the way down, Daddy, he said, you're going to preach and you have a guitar patch right there. And it looks really bad. I said, son, it's all good. All good. But we just felt like you guys are family. And Pastor Lisa has always been so gracious, and Trish and Brooke. And I know the difference now. And Lynn, and just the whole crew. So thanks for making my guys feel welcome here. The kids, I have 6 children myself, and Isaac came last year, not as a camper, but our audio video guy got here, and the day he got here, his mother-in-law got sick, and they had to turn around and go right back. So Isaac, okay. So Isaac, wonderful. It's a very enthusiastic. Boy, are you enthusiastic. And so Isaac came up, and they marked down the calendar. So I have an 11-year-old who will, if we get to come back next year, will be back next year, and he's already marking down the days on his calendar. So it's insane. These guys are really looking forward to this. This week, obviously, we know the camp theme is This Is All About Me, which is obviously speaking about identity, which, in my opinion, is the most important thing that you guys, specifically at your age, can hear. It's not contained and only for people of your age, but it certainly is good for you to know right now, because there's only 2 things you ever really need to figure out. It's what does God say, and specifically, what does God say about me? So I want to read through some of the things that I jotted down by the Spirit earlier and read some scripture, and then we'll go from there. How's that? True life, the abundant life that Jesus promises, can only begin when one thing is settled. Who am I? Tonight as I speak, and later as we lay hands on you, the Holy Spirit is going to fill this place. He actually already has. And he's going to affirm your identity. You already have one, and many of us just need to see about ourselves what God already knows about us. I speak and declare that is going to be so tonight. I speak it right now. We hear a lot of preaching on the finished work of the cross, and I believe in the finished work of the cross, but the finished work of the cross did not happen at Calvary. The crescendo of the cross was the baptism of the Holy Spirit 50 days later. That was the purpose, because the one Spirit that was contained bodily in Jesus Christ himself, the idea was that that Spirit would be shed upon many sons and many daughters. And when that was to happen, Joel said that in those days he would pour out his Spirit upon, did you guys read your Bible? Upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters would prophesy. Many things happen when the Spirit's poured out, not just historically in Acts chapter 2, but anytime his Spirit is poured out, you can be sure that several things are going to happen. One, sons and daughters will prophesy. Old people will dream again, and young people will catch a vision for what they're supposed to do and who they really are. And so I believe that as I speak tonight, in the same Spirit and the same power that Peter stood up in Acts chapter 2 and said, this is that, that tonight we're going to experience another, this is that. Because I don't have time just for camp and regular, and I love camp and it's wonderful, but I don't have time for camp as usual. This is definitely not camp as usual. I mean other camps that we do. But what I do have time for is to come and to bring whatever glory God has put upon us and whatever glory he's put upon you, and bring it together and make sure that when we leave, one, we know who we are and we know where we're going. And so what I want you to do tonight is pray that God will, amen, is pray that God will give you God goggles. We did a video at our church at Mother's Day 2 or 3 or 4 years ago by the Skit Guys. You may or may not have heard of them. If you haven't, look them up. They're funny. And they did a thing called Mom Goggles. Have anybody seen the little skit Mom Goggles? In Mom Goggles, these dads are seeing kids and they're tearing their house up. And they're, like most dads probably, they're irritated until they get what they call Mom Goggles. They put the goggles on and suddenly they see the kids through the perspective of the mother's eyes. And everything they're breaking suddenly is cute and sweet and wonderful, because it's just a little baby. What I want to happen to you tonight, and what is going to happen to you tonight, is you're going to get God goggles. You're going to begin to see things about yourself that maybe you have not seen before. Because as much as I believe that you should have your dreams, did you know that God also has a dream for you? And it's as we align ourselves with the dream that God has for us, as we amen and agree with his dream, that heaven's yes is looking to impregnate our amen. Now, let me say what I mean by that. Heaven's yes is looking to impregnate our amen. Amen in the Hebrew, in the Greek. Amen means what? So be it, let it be. So be it, let it be. And so all the promises of God are yes and amen, and they're simply looking for someone that will agree with what God has already said about you. So really the only issue is not just what is my dream, but what is God's dream? God wants to dream with you. And what is God's dream for me? Because probably his dream for you is a lot bigger than your dream for yourself. Yeah, it is. I can promise you that most of us, if we were to see God's dream for us, would feel like we were improbable candidates. I know a lot of people don't like titles. I like titles. So my title for the message tonight is This Is Me, The Improbable, The Prophecy, and The Promise. The Improbable, The Prophecy, and The Promise. The prophecy from Joel that was reiterated by Peter is that sons and daughters would prophesy, old man would dream dreams, young man would see visions. And the Father wants to affirm you in such a way that no other voice after tonight will have any power over your life or in your life. That is actually a prophetic declaration. Let me just say this in passing. Did you know that your enemy is absolutely toothless? And according to the book that we all read, his jaw has been broken. Did you know that? Now, who would be afraid of a toothless dog with a broken jawbone? When the scripture says that, it was said of Jesus, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? He literally stood over the last enemy, which was death, taunting it, saying, you're nothing more than a toothless dog with a broken jawbone. And the moment that we say no to the voice of fear, it's as if we walk out of our very own tomb in the same way that Jesus did. Because the only thing the enemy has left to use is a voice. Because he has no teeth and he has no power. He simply has a voice. And if you say no to the voice and listen more to the voice of the Father affirming who you really are, the more you hear his voice and the less you hear the voice of death and the enemy, the more you'll walk in what Jesus provided, which is not just life, but life more abundantly. Amen. And when you leave, I know this is a little preachy, but that's all right. You can handle it. Because you need to hear this. You need to hear what God thinks about you, what God says about you, what God is going to affirm about you. Here's what happened in the New Testament. Jesus comes walking down the banks of the Jordan, and John the Baptist is in the Jordan River, and he's baptizing. He's baptizing unto repentance. And he suddenly looks, and now Jesus is his cousin. He suddenly looks and says, Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. Jesus makes his way down into the Jordan River, and John says, What am I that you would come to me? And Jesus says, suffer this to be so. Allow this to happen, John. We have to fulfill our righteousness. And he takes Jesus and takes him down into the water, and he brings him back up. And the Bible says when Jesus came out of the water, that John says, and I saw the heavens open. And the Spirit of God descended like a dove. He's not a dove, but like a dove. And it lighted upon Jesus. And a voice came from heaven. I want to tell you tonight, you're hearing a voice from heaven. And if you'll listen, it's going to affirm your identity. And no other voice will be able to speak into your life again. And the voice said this. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know what happens next? You'll love this part. Super spiritual. If I was Jesus, I would have been like, oh my God. Literally, oh my God, oh myself, whatever. The Father just rang out of heaven. The Holy Spirit just lighted upon Jesus like a dove. And not just John, but I believe everyone around heard the voice from heaven that said, this is my son. This is my offspring. This one has in himself my blood. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. And Jesus is like me, he would be pumped. And immediately, you know what happens? It's what's going to happen when you leave camp. Probably. Or at least sometime in the near future. Jesus, the Bible says, is driven up into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And what does the enemy tempt him over? Here's what he says to him. The enemy appears to Jesus and says, if you are God's son. The Father, knowing what the temptation would be, had already said, "This is my beloved Son." And so the attack on the identity had already been dealt with before, because the Father said, "You're my Son." I want you to hear me very close tonight, children and boys and girls and men of all ages. You are sons and daughters of a living God. You have been bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ, and He loves you, and He's proud of you, and He has a dream for you. And if you can hear this inside of you, it'll go deep into the soil of your soul, and it will take root. And what will happen is the kingdom will begin to grow in you, because the kingdom comes in the same way that the kingdom has always come. We pray this prayer. Do you pray this? Our Father, John Michael, who art in heaven, pray with me. Hallowed be thy kingdom come. Stop. Thy kingdom come. That is the prayer and the mandate of all of you. That whatever is the reality of His kingdom. Kingdom means the royalty, the rule, the realm, and the reign. So we want God's royalty in the earth. We want God to reign in the earth. We want that here. You were to manifest that as conduits. Here's how it happens. The kingdom comes as the kingdom came, and the kingdom comes as the king came. Let's read some scripture real quick, because I really want to put my hands on all of you. God has plans for you according to Jeremiah 29:11. I know you know this one. Jeremiah 29:11 says this: "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." The Message Bible says it this way: "I know what I'm doing." I love it. I know, it's the Father saying, "Look, I know what I'm doing." Did you know that most of the time, whatever your problem is not really your problem? Your problem is you're not in control. Yeah. You sleeping? Get her some coffee. No, I'm just kidding. I know she's not sleeping. She asked me last night, "Are you preaching?" I don't know, maybe. Message: "I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, to not abandon you, plans to give you the future that you hope for." I do too. God has big plans for you. Yes. Every one of you. God has plans for every one of you. Every single one of you. He's thought about you in detail. He not only sees, but He declares the end from the beginning. And what He wants you to do tonight is, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to put on God goggles and maybe see something about yourself for the first time. It amazes me, although I'm not surprised that when the little girl came over that she was already beginning to speak with other tongues, because the Holy Spirit's presence has been so heavy here. What you didn't know was, after our worship this afternoon, we went up and down every single place, and we touched every pew and went in between every pew and every entryway of this place. And the Lord said, "You begin to pray in the Spirit, because I'm going to manifest myself in such a way that they will leave this place tonight and never, never be the same." Our whole team. It was our mandate, and so we did. And I promise you, it doesn't matter if you're 2 or 200. When you leave here tonight, you're never going to be the same. Luke chapter 1. God's plan is bigger for you than you are, and God's plan for you is bigger than your plan for yourself. Heaven's yes is waiting on your amen. Luke chapter 1, verses 26. Got a little bit of throat left. "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to the Galilean village of Nazareth to a virgin who was engaged to be married to a man who was descended from David. His name was Joseph, and the virgin's name was Mary. Upon entering, Gabriel greeted her this way: 'Good morning. You are beautiful with God's beauty.'" I'm reading from the Message. The way you hear it in the King James is, "Hail Mary, you are blessed and highly favored." I'd like to just make a point here that Gabriel did not make her blessed and highly favored. He was just simply telling her something about herself that she didn't yet know. Well, I'm coming here tonight not because I want to tell you that I'm bringing your favor. I want to tell you, you are blessed, you are highly favored, and God knows, not just knows, but has counted and numbered every hair on your head. Knows everything about you. Even the one of you right now that just thought, "Really, even me?" Even you. He's got bigger plans for you than you might have for yourself. "Good morning, Mary. You're beautiful with God's beauty, beautifully made inside and out." God be with you. And she was thoroughly shaken. Now, you probably would too if you're minding your own business. As a young teenage girl, at this time it wasn't abnormal for a 12 to 14 or 16-year-old to be engaged to be married. That was a part of their culture. And I'm looking at a bunch of 12, 13, 14, 16, 18-year-olds. She was engaged to be married, had her plans to be married, and God was going to interrupt everything about her because as good as her plans were, God had bigger plans. So big they were that most people would have considered her not qualified. She was a very improbable candidate for God's dream for her. She was thoroughly shaken, wondering what was behind the greeting like that. But the angel assured her, Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you because you're going to become pregnant and give birth to a son and call his name Jesus. He will be called Great and be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule Jacob's house forever, no end ever to his kingdom. And Mary replied in the same way all of us would reply. But how? I've never been with a man. Which is to say, how can you possibly do in my life what you want to do? Because with men, this is not possible. Bless you. You scared me a little bit. Most likely, if your dream is attainable by your own power, it's not God's dream for you. Most of the time that God drops a vision or a dream in your heart that comes from him, it's too big for you personally to attain. And you're going to have to lean on him, and it's going to require your amen to heaven's yes. Mary said to the angel, but how? I've never been with a man. And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The kingdom comes in the same way that the king came. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will hover over you. Thank you, Marie. Therefore, the child you bring forth will be called Holy, Son of God. And did you know that your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son as old as she is? Everyone called her barren, and here she is 6 months pregnant. I love how the angel, this is just a little bit of a, for the Wednesday nighters, not necessarily for camp, but I like how the angel doesn't even take hardly a breath and goes right into something that seems to be disconnected from the fact that Mary is going to have Jesus. In the same conversation, without taking another breath, he says, and by the way, Elizabeth also is pregnant, your cousin. Did you know your cousin Elizabeth is pregnant? As old as she is, everyone called her barren, and here she is 6 months pregnant. I believe that the reason that the angel spoke of Elizabeth was because if Mary is not going to say yes and have Jesus, then we don't need John the forerunner, so Elizabeth wouldn't need to be pregnant. It's very possible that Mary's salutation, can we just talk like church people for a minute? And then I'm going to get back to youth camp. This is Wednesday night, people, right? Wave at me, Wednesday night, people. Oh, man, 17 people. You got to have more than that. It's very possible. Did you know the same word used when the angel approaches Mary is the exact same word used when Mary later is going to come and approach Elizabeth? Greetings, salutations. And the same salutation that came to the angel that went to Mary, when Mary receives the seed that's inside of her, she speaks that to Elizabeth. And Elizabeth says something very peculiar for a six-month-old pregnant woman. She says, from the moment that you begin to speak, the babe in my womb has not stopped to leap. How many mothers have had kids? My wife has had six. It's not six, I know. Believe me, I know. I don't recommend it. I'm just saying. I mean, I love my kids. I do, but I'm going to be like 150 by the time I pay off all their college and everything else they got to do. Maybe not. With God, all things are possible. Yeah, I speak things that be not. What did he say? The Lord favored me. I had 4 sons and 2 daughters, and I always tell the boys if I lost one of them, I'm still cool because they got 3 left. I thought about selling one. As a matter of fact, I put one on eBay, but I couldn't get a bid for them. Yeah. We're going to take an offering later tonight just to pay the college. If there's not going to be a Jesus, we certainly don't need a John. But the power that Mary received from the angel, once she received it and the seed was inside of her, she was able to give that same power and give life to probably a lifeless baby at the time. Anyways, back to this. Back to camp, people. And here she is 6 months pregnant. Nothing you see is impossible with God. And Mary said, yes, I see it all now. I'm the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Listen, let it be with me just as you say. And the angel left. The King James Version says this, be it done unto me according to your word. Be it done unto me according to your word. The angel comes and completely obliterates her plans and says, by the way, as good as your plans are, God has bigger plans for you. She was not fasting and praying for it. She was not looking for it. She was simply minding her business. And all of a sudden, the angel appears, just like the one that's speaking to you tonight, the messenger, and saying, hey, you're blessed and highly favored. And what's going to happen tonight is the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and he's going to put his seed inside of you. And if you say amen to his seed, all of a sudden, the kingdom of God is birthed inside of you. It'll begin to grow. Everybody listening? Wave at me if you're listening. Lord, help this crew right over here a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. All of them waved. Let it be done unto me just as you say. And the angel left. Why did the angel leave? Because his work was done. 39 through 45. I love how the very, very, and this is the Message version. The very next verse is, Mary did not waste 1 minute. When you leave camp, you guys that have been here 3 or 4 years, my kids have been here 3 years now. We have some new ones. Macy's new this year, and Brandon as a camper. Isaac. Do we have any other new ones this year? I don't think any of our. Rachel. Yeah, Rachel that sang last night. Rachel's new. Okay, so we have a bunch of new kids. God. I'm a father of six. Give me a break. When you leave camp, you know, all of you know you're going to be pumped up. Your chest, as Dan said last night, you're going to feel like you can eat concrete for breakfast or whatever. You're going to feel like $1 million. And then what happens over time is the experience and the emotion of the week begins to erode until it's almost gone. And what you're going to have to do is you can't waste any time. When the seed comes tonight, you've got to guard the seed. Speak to yourself. Who said, Macy said tonight, make declarations, speak over yourself. Did you know that the most prophetic person in my life right now probably is my 8-year-old son, Jason? He just turned 8 last month, and I've met some guys, and God, I believe in them. And it doesn't matter to me. There's no such thing as a junior Holy Spirit. So whether they're 4 or 40 or 80, I'll listen to them. But probably the most potent voice that God has used to me prophetically speaking my life is my little son. I'll tell you a story about Jason. We were, I may have shared this last year. If I did, I don't know if it already happened, but it may not have happened as of yet. But I want to share a story about Jason. And I just, to prove a point that there isn't, so at this time, Jason would have been 6. And we're sitting around our living room. We do a thing at night called aware time. And I bring my family in, and we don't do anything except just sit and be aware of the goodness of God, the presence of God. We do something that no one in America seems to know how to do anymore, wait. We want everything yesterday. I mean, honestly, how many of you try to download a song and it took like 37 seconds, you're ready to slam your phone down and like cuss and stuff? She raised her hand. Don't raise your hand. Yeah. My mother, she's not here. Oh, there she is. Well, I've got to tell it now because I called you out. My lovely mother, who's been in the ministry a long time, when we were little, she would drive through the drive-thru at McDonald's and order fries. And we would get to the window. Every time we got up there, they would give us our order and say, but we're waiting on fries. And we were like 3 or 4 minutes. And my mom would say, since we had to wait so long, do you plan to give us extra? Hey, we learned something from Mama. We learned something because let them be late for a minute at McDonald's and see. I don't really do the McDonald's, but can I please get some extra fries? Not really me, but Elizabeth will. She wears them out at McDonald's or wherever. God, I totally lost my place. We've forgotten. It's actually a gift, and it's actually a discipline, a practice, learning how to wait. We don't want to wait on anything. But Mary didn't waste a minute. Immediately she began to speak to change her life according to what was inside of her. By the way, what happened to her, you know, she couldn't tell anybody right away. She was supposed to get married real soon. How old are you? 15. God, please don't. But can you imagine me engaged right now? Y'all don't do that stuff up here, do y'all? Like at 15? Where are you from? Are you from here? Is this your church? If my daughter, who was 14, first of all, if she ever came and said she was engaged, you're going to find me on America's Most Wanted because I'm about to kill somebody. Here's how bad it is. We're having a church prom. She's 13. She'll be 14 next. Yeah, let somebody ask her at 13, see what happened. Dropping bombs. Trying to tell you. We're having a church prom, which is what we did when we grew up. We just get together and dance or whatever. You have king and queen, the whole nine. Church prom. We thought we'd do a throwback. And I told my boys, we were sitting at the table last week, the week before, and Isaac said, "Hey, Dad." He tried to, you know, real deep boy. "Hey, Dad. Is it okay if we have dates of the prom?" I said, "Yeah, man, it's cool. Whatever. No problem." And immediately I looked at Abby. She said, "I already know." Don't even say nothing. And I said, "If anybody even asks you, I want his name and I want his social security number and I want his address. Because I'm going to kill him." You can say double standard all you want. She ain't your daughter. I can do what I want to do with my daughter. That's my daughter. I said, "Honey, I'm your date. And I will be your date till you're 33, just like we always agreed." That is my baby. You don't like the way I do it, you go have your own daughter. You deal with her your way. I'm doing mine my way. But the boys, whatever. You want to get a date, it's cool. Whatever. If this preaching thing don't work out for me, I'm going into comedy. The yes of heaven. Listen, I want to finish up, and then I really do. I have our team come back, and we want to just pray with you, and because I know what I saw in the spirit, and I believe. As a matter of fact, if I can just scare you, I saw a crown right here on this side of the church before church started. It just kind of sat down on the place. I don't really know what it means, but I saw it, and I don't make that kind of stuff up. Back to waiting. See, you thought I forgot, and I did, but God reminded me. So we wait, and so we go around, and I'll say, "Hey, did you see anything? Did the Lord say anything?" And sometimes they'll go, "Nah." And I don't want them to make it up. Sometimes, like my little daughter Rachel says, Jesus was playing with baby tigers. You laugh like I laughed. You know what happened? She said it about four times. On the fourth time, I laughed, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "How do you know I'm not playing with baby tigers?" Honest to God, it stunned me. I was like, "My bad." You won't play baby tigers? But go read the book of Job and find out if God doesn't sing to the morning birds. But he shocked me. "How do you know I don't play baby tigers?" I was like, "Whatever you say, Rachel." And we had already gone around and asked all the kids. But there was such a heaviness in a good way. The word glory in the Bible, in a lot of ways, it means heaviness. Kabod and doxat means heaviness and weighty. And there was certainly a weightiness that night because we kind of cultivated this thing over months and months and months. And that we'd already gone around. Well, the next thing that happens is Abby's just like lost in the presence of the Lord. She comes off the couch. She's in the floor just wailing before the Lord and just praying. And we're just sitting there. I'm sitting in my recliner with Jason on my lap. And all of a sudden, Jason just begins to be overcome. And he just cries so heavily. At the time, he's 6. He might have been 5. I think he was 6. And I said, he just looks at me and says, "Oh, my God. Oh, my God, Dad, do you see that?" And I said, "No, son." Which I love that he sees things sometimes that I don't see. And I said, he said, "Look right there. He's right there. You don't see him." I said, "Son, what are you seeing?" He said, "Jesus, he's right there with Papa. And Papa's putting oil on Abby's head. You can't see that?" I said, "No, son, I don't see it, but I believe it." He said, "Oh, Daddy, look, he's going around. He's touching everyone. He's talking about my father." And then he began to cry even heavier. He said, "Daddy, I don't know what this is, but Jesus just gave Papa some red stuff, and he's telling him for us to drink it. Papa's feeding the cup to Abby right now." 6 years old. And you know how he is very special, but not any more special than every single one of you. Jacob has said before, this is what the Lord said. Jacob's a little more stern in the way that he talks. He'll go, "Yeah, this is what I saw." And every one of them do it, and I love that. And the reason that they do it is because they know, first of all, who they are. They know whose they are, and all of you have the access to the same thing. It's not crazy. It's not weird. It's not mystical, magical. It's simply listening to the voice of the Father that you have. The yes of heaven is waiting to impregnate amen in the earth. The kingdom comes as the king came in seed form. You may not leave here with all the answers, but you will leave here with heavenly seed and it will produce. Now, everybody, do me a favor and say amen. Amen. The very second that Mary said, "Be it done unto me according to your word," the Spirit of God took the word of God and offered it to her, and her egg received the seed, and Jesus was conceived. That's why he's called the Word of God. All heaven is waiting on, when I say heaven, I'm talking about the realm of God, the place where he rules from. He's just waiting on you to agree with what he says about you. And some of you just said, "Well, what does he say about me?" Well, ask him. Put on God goggles. We're going to do it by the Spirit here in just a few more minutes. Most of the time, the Lord chooses people that you would consider very improbable. And then he'll bring a prophetic word, and then there's a manifestation of the promise. In 2010, I'll tell you this, and then I'll be, in October of 2010, my youngest sister, Rebecca, called me. And she says, "Dad, Josh, you need to get to the church right away." Our church is amazing. Our church at the time, my father's church building, it looked a lot like this one, close to the same size and stuff. So I drove over as fast as I could get there, and you know what's going on. He had a Lincoln, because all bishops, I guess, drive Lincolns. I don't know. Have you ever noticed that? It's like Cadillacs and Lincolns. I just want to be a bishop so I can get a nicer car. I'm driving a truck. I got to the church building, and my father was actively having a heart attack. And my dad was old school. He never went to the doctor. That just wasn't his thing. And so he said, my dad was 6'2", 6'3", about 260, 270 pounds. And he says, "Take me home." He gets in the passenger seat, "Drive me home, son." I said, "Dad, you're having a heart attack. I think you're having a heart attack. You're cold and clammy, and I really think you're having a heart attack." He said, "Did you hear me, boy?" Which means, "Yes, sir." "Take me home." And so at that time, he lived about 40 minutes northeast of the church. So I jumped on Interstate 77. I took him home. And we went into his, I had finished his carport into a, to like a den area. And called all the family up. And he was preparing to die. And he called us all around. He's praying, and, everybody's just sort of freaking out. He can barely walk, which he had done this a couple of times before. But it was, you could just tell there was something. And finally, my sister called a medical assistant that went to our church. And she brought up a portable EKG machine. And hooks it up to him. And she said, "Pastor Tony, you're having a heart attack as we speak." And I'll never forget, I was sitting here, and my mom was across the room. And he said, he called her Doc. He said, "Doc, what do you want me to do?" She's in tears. She said, "Well, I want you here with me." So he said, "Okay, I'll go to the hospital." And they said, "We're not going to take you to the local hospital, because that's where people go to die. We're going to take you to a good hospital." And so they rushed him to Winston-Salem. And indeed, he had a complete blockage of his left anterior descending artery. And that night I walked in after several hours of surgery and putting the stent in. I walk in, maybe many of you have experienced the same thing, and I see this man that was my hero. I mean, this is my daddy. This is a man that had been a minister of the gospel for, at that time, 37, 38 years. Now here I am, 31 years old, 32 years old. And I look at him, and he's utterly and completely helpless. The Father brings him through that. He begins to heal. He takes his medicine. The body receives the stent, and he's doing great. And not quite 2 years later, September 1st of 2012, September 2nd, we're going to have what we called Old Fashioned Sunday. And we would bake pies and do like sack races and the whole nine. And so I brought my mower over. I had a zero-turn mower, and I wanted to make the yard look really nice for the next day. My father was there. Jacob was there at the time. And Dad came. When he pulled up, he said, "Hey, what's going on, son?" I said, "Hey, man." I turned the mower off. We talked for a few minutes, and he said, "I'm going to go in and sort of spruce up the church." And Jacob said, "No, Papa, let me do it. I'll go get it." So Jacob went inside, did that. I said, "I'm going to go over one more time and make the stripes look real nice, and then we'll set up the pop-ups." "Yeah, when you get done, come on into the office there, and we'll hang out and we'll talk." I said, "Sounds good." I get about five stripes from being finished, and he comes out and he throws his hand up. Turn them off. He said, "Bye, son. I'm going home. I'll see you later. Bye, son. I love you. Going home. I'll see you later." I said, "Okay, okay, cool." Gets in the car. He takes off. That night I go home and I'm watching TV, and I've got my laptop on my lap. My mother had been in Asheville at a women's conference. And the phone rings, and it's a lady that goes to our church, and she says, "Josh, I need to get a hold of your dad." Ken, who also went to our church, was just in a major car accident. He raced cars. And he was just been airlifted to a hospital. Call your dad, find him. We got to find him now. We want him to know. Need him praying. And I said, okay. So I called him. Well, he didn't answer, which was not uncommon for my dad. I honestly thought he's in the bathroom. You know, whatever. He'll call me back. Well, he didn't call back. And then so we prayed. And I told Sandy, I said, you know, when we get hold of him, no big deal. We'll, you know, we'll make sure that he knows. About 10 o'clock, 10:30, I don't know the hours, my sister calls me. She's frantically on the phone. Carrie. Carrie wasn't able to be here this year. Josh, you got to get over here right now. Dad's in the floor. And I said, what? Josh, Dad's in the floor. The EMTs are here. You got to get here now. I dropped the phone. I said, Elizabeth, I'm going to Mom's. Get over there as soon as you can. That time I drove in the Sousa Trooper, jumped in the Trooper, and I was 95 in it the whole way there. And I walk into my dad's little office, and he's laid on the floor. His shirt is off, and the EMTs are on the floor working on him, trying to bring him back to life. On the way there, this is what I said, God, please no, God, please no, because I knew. God, please no, and I knew he wasn't coming back. Please don't do this. Please don't do this. God, we're not ready for this. Please don't do this. Please don't do this. And ultimately, after, gosh, they probably worked on him forever. That was it. They said, we're sorry. What's the time? And they called the time of death. 57. My father was 57. We were all just completely and utterly stunned. And we walked into the other room, and the guys from the funeral home finally showed up, and he happened to go to our church before. His name was Tommy Nesbitt, and they began to prepare the body, and we go in and did some things, and then that was a Saturday night, and the next Sunday, we had worship, and I preached for the first time as the interim pastor of True Vine Worship Center. That week, I think it was Monday, we went to Bojangles. We had to meet at the funeral home and make plans, and my mother sat across from the table from me and says, Josh, she was utterly devastated, as you can probably imagine. Says, can you just sort of just take everything and run with it? I don't know what to do. The truth of it was, I didn't know what to do either. And I said, yeah, Mom, I'll do whatever, you know. Here's the thing. You guys know I never wanted to be a pastor. I'm introduced now for 6 years now as Pastor Josh. I never even liked the title. I love pastors, and I love what they do, that was not what I wanted to do. When I was 20, I was thrust onto a stage in front of 30,000 people in India, and my thrust has always been more evangelistic. I didn't really want to do that either. I just kind of wanted to sing, you know. And I said, I'll do whatever. And here it is 6 years later. I was driving up Center Street one day in Statesville, and I said, Father, if you want me to do this, you're going to have to give me the heart of a shepherd. I said, I'm not the candidate for this. I don't know what to do. I preached my father's funeral. It's really quiet in here now. You talk about improbable candidates. I didn't know at the time the amount of growth first that I was going to go through. I didn't know the amount of growth that the church was going to go through. But during this time, in a five-year span, there were five major men that impacted my life. One of them was my father. One of them was a man by the name of Bishop Charles Johnson, who was very dear to me. That's who I traveled the world with. I've been to India multiple times, Africa multiple times, South America multiple times, all over the United States with him. And there were others. Kelly Varner. You guys know Kelly Varner. Jesse Slade, after whom Isaac is named, Isaac Slade. And in a five-year span of time, every single one of them died. At the time, I sort of tried to connect to people who were reaching out to me and found out they had a lot of issues in their own life. And, you know, I was completely and utterly devastated. And you know what I had to do in that time? The hardest thing I've ever been through, because I talked to my dad about everything, about my life. I don't know if you guys have problems with your dads, but I didn't. It kind of reminds me, I think, of probably what Jason and Jeremy have with their dad, where they just love him. They do ministry with him. I didn't have any of it. And in that time, I had to completely learn to rely on the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's the hardest thing I've ever been through. I'm not telling you this to give you a sad story. I'm telling you this to let you know I was completely and utterly improbable to become a pastor. But our church is growing. Not just naturally, our church is growing spiritually. You heard Macy get up there. It's not every church that you have a 12 or 13-year-old kid to get up there and say, it's time that you got to declare some things and release things that are inside of you. You know, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. That happens on a weekly basis at our church. And our church is not better than your church. That's not what I mean, but it happens on a weekly basis. Because what I've decided as pastor is I refuse to be the go-to guy. What I'm going to make sure is that everyone knows that you have the exact same access to the Father that I have, and you have the exact same access by the Holy Spirit to the reality of the kingdom of God as I have. It's weak, impotent, needy men that need to be needed that make you think that you need them. And there's plenty of them feeling, I know this church doesn't have that with Pastors Lisa, but there are plenty of them across the country. Believe me, I've met them. And some of them have some of the biggest churches in the country. But do you know that you have the same access to the Father that I have? Did you know that? Did you know that the same Holy Spirit that's inside of me and Lynn Hiles and Pastor Lisa and Dan Keister and Pastor Neil and Pastor Kevin and all the other guys that are here inside of you? Mary did not know how great of a calling that she had on her life. We see the story from this side and know Mary, the mother of Jesus. I mean, do you think about how improbable it was? A 14-year-old girl is going to have to teach God how to walk. You're going to be responsible to teach the Messiah, the Son of God, God Himself, how to walk and how to talk and how to communicate. Can you imagine the pressure that one was under? Completely and utterly. I don't know of a 14-year-old I would want to trust with something that eternal. And yet that's exactly what the Father is saying to you, that He wants to trust you with heavenly things. He wants to trust you to bring the reality of heaven into the earth. Whether you understand it or not, I mean, Mary, there's no way she could have understood it. The Bible says these words in the King James. She pondered these things in her heart. You know what that means? They just revolved again and again and again in her mind. Like, how can these things be? I don't get it. I mean, He said it. I know it's going to happen, but my gosh. You know, God in heaven, He's not looking for you to understand it all. He's looking for you to say, I agree with what you say about me. Your amen to what heaven says activates the promise inside of you. And your agreement with what the heaven says about you accelerates the promises of heaven for you. Abby, your amen, when you say, Lord, I receive what you say about me. I receive your dream for me. I receive that dream for me, whatever that is. That will activate it in your life. And then the next step is you begin to agree with it. How do you agree with it? You change your life according to whatever fits that. For instance, the Hobbit guy last night. Hobbit guy, right? I know, but his name's not going to be Trent. He's going to be known as Hobbit guy from now on. You know, if you feel like let's just say the Lord said, go to New Zealand and make this museum or whatever it is you said. It's your dream, not mine, you know. You know, if you don't agree with that and make changes in your life in that direction, it's never going to happen. But when the Father speaks to you, when you say amen, okay, Lord, what if the Lord were to tell you something about yourself tonight that's so incredible you almost had to keep it secret? When you say, okay, let it be done unto me according to what you... Anytime someone gives you a prophetic word, you should always say this, let it be done unto me according to your word. And then once you hear it, then you agree with it, and you walk in agreement with it. I have no problem believing that the little girl, I don't know who she is now, that said she wanted to be the first female president. You can be the first female president. Is it you? Oh, it's Tori? I'm 40 now. I don't see as well as I used to. No. It was you. I was in the back. I don't saw the back of your head. I don't recognize the back of your head so well. I think you can be the first female president. I think that's wonderful. I think that's awesome. Maybe God put that in your heart to do that. And if you are, yes, I'll vote for you. And if you invite me to the White House, I'm coming. I just want to see some stuff. Maybe stick some stuff in the pocket. Yeah. Who's the football player for the Steelers? Now, you know in this church you have to say Redskins. Did somebody say Eagles? Ushers, could you escort this one from the building? No, it's good. It's good. The only sinful team in here is the Cowboys. Y'all know that. I believe that you can do that. If you'd have said Cowboys, if you had said Cowboys, there'd have been an exorcism in this church. I can guarantee you that. But listen. Isaac, sit back down. No, just kidding. I want to mess with him a little bit. What? You know, you're the first one to go. You know I got three more boys. As the team comes back around, here's what we're going to do. I want you to, just a few moments of seriousness. Thanks for bearing with me. We started doing Facebook Live at True Vine when we were able to at that time. We're still meeting in a high school auditorium because we had some issues with our building. Then we outgrew the building, and we're looking for another place. Be in prayer with us about that. We may have found it, but whatever. If God wants us in the auditorium, I'm cool. I'm more into building people than building buildings. So, but we need a building to facilitate what God wants to do. So that'll come. That'll come. But I'm going to ask you just in a second to come to the front. And I'm going to believe that God is going to show you something, reveal something about you that you may not know yourself. The way that he does that, you okay? You okay? That's not the Holy Spirit. That's the microphone. Gabriel didn't just come, you know. That was not the crown that I saw earlier. But God's going to reveal something to you about yourself. And as he does, just begin to say yes, 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 yes. You know, you may not feel spooky and you may not feel weird and you may or may not get goose pimples, or maybe you will. It doesn't matter. You know, but what will happen is you'll begin to feel and see something about you, about yourself that maybe you didn't know before. I prayed for this. I contended for this all day in the hotel room. I prayed and contended for this. When we got here, I prayed and contended for this. And the last time I check, if you ask, you receive. So I'm believing tonight that when you come up here, that what we're going to do is we're going to have our team. You know, I still believe in the laying on of hands, and I believe in the spoken word. I've seen that happen, but I believe specifically tonight that the Father wants us, and not just my team, the leadership team at this church, you're full of the Spirit, to lay hands on you guys, and you're going to begin to receive stuff in yourself that you didn't know that you even had. Some of you may begin to speak with other tongues, and that's perfectly fine. That's good. Don't be afraid of that. Just let it come out. That's all right. Some of you may not, and don't get mad if you don't. If that comes, when that comes, wonderful. Don't force it and don't fake it. Just let it come. Is that okay? All right. Father, I thank you for this night. Father, I know that I've sort of wanted to lay the groundwork, maybe not in the best way, but the groundwork for your Spirit to move in this place tonight. I believe that your word will go deep into the soil of their souls like seed, and that it will produce a harvest. I pray, Father, now that as these children and adults begin to come forward, that your Spirit is released. I know what you told us to pray for earlier, Father. And I know what we've contended for all afternoon. And I know, Father, that manifestation is coming into the earth. And I pray for that to happen even right now as they begin to come. Come on up to the front. Come on up to the front. As they begin to hear what you say and begin to see about themselves something they did not know, Lord, let them by your Spirit put on, as I call it, God goggles, so they can see something about themselves maybe that they didn't know. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. Oh, goodness, it's a lot of people up here. Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Zach. Now, listen, I know there are just as many of you full of the Spirit as we are. And if you are, what I want you to do is begin to minister to the person right beside you, okay? You don't have to be intrusive. Don't push them down or anything like that. Just you can lightly touch them. Be respectful and do it, and begin to let the Spirit inside of you minister to the Spirit inside of them, okay? Father, right now, by your Spirit, let them begin to see about themselves something they did not see before, something maybe they did not know before. We know that heaven's yes is waiting for their amen. Thank you, Father. Open up their hearts, open up their minds, and let them hear and see.